Good morning and happy Monday morning to all of our listeners and to you, Matt. Thanks again for making such great things happen here behind the glass. I am Lydia Aranda and I'm your host on Mondays with our show called Rainmakers here on The Morning Voice. And we are just getting through the heat. Another hot one, but I loved your announcements that we might have rain later in the week. So we're going to keep doing what we do.
You have chances all week, but it looks like they kind of get a little bit better starting tomorrow, Wednesday, and certainly the last part of the week. So let's keep our fingers crossed.
That's great. Yeah. And thanks so much for the news headlines. It sounds like there's a lot of action and activity going on.
Indeed.
Our city council people are getting active, not just in their
don't even know what to make of that,
re-elections and ballot counts.
Glad everybody was safe. That's all I really want to say on that matter.
That's really all we can say is please try not to tackle other people. It's not a good idea. But thanks, Paul, for your service. I am so excited. We are going to have another wonderful roundup here on Rainmakers. We are speaking this morning for our first segment. We're going to be speaking with Hunter Ackerley. Hunter, I know you're on the phone, and I'm so excited that you've joined us because, Matt, we're going to be talking about CCAP across the map. CCAP, which stands for Cervical Cancer Awareness and Prevention, is actually a global initiative that was co-founded by Hunter and some other young ladies, and they're doing a great job keeping this initiative active and putting on many events, not only for fundraising, but for awareness, which I think goes even a longer way when we help spread the word here locally, nationally, and globally for young women. And Hunter, I hope you can hear me. It's so excited to have you here on the line with us today. Welcome.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It's great to get to talk to you.
Well, you know, this initiative has been going on for a bit, and you and your team, your co-founders, and I don't want to say your staff, but actually your board, which are rolling up your sleeves and being very active, are keeping this initiative alive, both here in Tucson, across Arizona, and really across the country and into other countries as well. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how it got started?
Yeah, absolutely. So back in 2017, I graduated high school. I'm native to Tucson, Arizona, so I attended Catalina Foothills. And my best friend, still my best friend, her name is Jillian Lever. We decided to co-found this organization in kind of a coffee shop conversation. We had done many extracurriculars in high school related to healthcare, like Health Occupant Students of America. We were part of the speech and debate team, and we really saw the benefit of kind of putting our heads together and trying to do some work for our community and on the global scale as well. So back in 2017, we were in a Starbucks coffee shop, and we decided we wanted to work together to kind of focus on women's health and areas where preventable healthcare can really be effective. Mm-hmm. And kind of with, you know, familial experience with some women in our family, landed on cervical cancer as a really interesting initiative, an important initiative to us to focus on because it is so preventable, especially if screened for and vaccinated against with the HPV vaccine. So in 2017, that's when the idea was born, and we have worked on it ever since then, and it's grown.
That's fantastic. And, you know, I was looking into the background. I've actually known you for a few years in full transparency and letting our listeners know. And I've met Jillian a handful of times. Both of you are graduates, she from ASU, you from U of A, and both of you coming out of honors colleges. So definitely a really strong background in your studies. And I'm going to gather from both of your degrees that you guys, that both of you ladies actually have focused on the research part, on really looking into your bachelor's is in psychological science with a minor in music, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very interesting because we've obviously had different backgrounds. Like you just said, my degree was in psychological science and a minor in music, and Jillian's degree was in biomedical engineering and genetic engineering. And so we definitely have kind of that science and STEM background and that mm-hmm. social services background combining to really propel our efforts forward and help us make connections in the community, like you said, with research and understanding how cervical cancer affects people, especially disadvantaged groups of people with limited access to healthcare, and seeing how we can really make an impact with those initiatives that we have going on.
Well, and there are so many initiatives, lots and lots, as you said, to choose from that I'm sure both of you spoke about, things that that are conditions that maybe come down through I'm losing my words this morning. My coffee hasn't quite kicked in. You know, there's hereditary type of afflictions and conditions, and then there are things that simply happen for all kind of other reasons. And one of the things I really like, having learned about CCAP across the map, is your focus is not just on the disease and eradicating that or the awareness of that, but also really just focusing on the preventative, getting those tests ahead of time, focusing on not only speaking with women, but speaking with parents and teachers and other people that can help influence in a positive way and support young ladies in their health journeys to be not afraid to go into their doctors and have tests done and screening so that we can prevent cancer before it goes down the path too far.
Absolutely. And you're right. We do have quite a few initiatives that focus more holistically mm-hmm. on a variety of things. We have cancers that are related to the human papillomavirus, so HPV, and we have a lot of information that speaks to a variety of age groups all the way from like elementary school age up until as old as anybody really is. And we have these initiatives to talk to people at every level of life, because at any stage of life, HPV and cervical cancer and other cancers that affect both men and women can happen. And so we want to kind of catch it at every level and just share that information with the community, with their various programs and things that we have going on both in Arizona and, like you said, globally.
Thank you so much for that. You know, I was reading some more in your bio about your undergraduate honors thesis having been focused on emotionally focused mentoring. Tell us a little bit about that. I know we only have a couple minutes before our first break already, but I think we can get a little bit of explanation going on that. To me, emotionally focused mentoring means not only using academia or using straightforward factual information, but really tying into the emotional state of being, or almost the mental state of being, of whoever it is that one is talking to, a patient, a protege, a student, or that. Am I on the right track there?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, you were right. I was in my undergrad at the University of Arizona and did some research with the psychology department on relationships and attachment theory, and how people kind of, you know, experience conflict in their relationships. And that's really relationships of all kind, friend, family, romantic partners, anything like that. And I worked as a mentor to freshmen in the psychology department. And I was able to kind of practice therapeutic techniques that are centered around this idea of emotionally focused mentoring. So that is meeting somebody where they're at, helping them to understand their own emotional state and be able to express and feel it so that they can process things kind of more readily and more effectively. The theory behind that is if you feel your emotions, you're able to kind of navigate them better and understand them better and re-regulate after that. So that's definitely a really helpful practice when it comes to communicating health information, meeting people where they're at, because people are at all different levels of understanding and in their own health journeys and experiences. So it really has influenced our kind of mental health support and information that we spread with CCAP across the map as well, in order to kind of help people maintain that healthy mindset and be able to kind of process diagnoses like cervical cancer.
That's so important to really have that holistic approach to health, to wellness, to well-being, and really being able to open up lines of communication for patients and their doctors, but also for patients and hopefully their partners, their families, maybe even coworkers, if patients are wanting to build up a network of support. My understanding from speaking previously with you, but also with other doctors and other counselors and therapists, is that really having that support network is so important. And I would imagine that that's what you're finding in as you reach out to the community and to our elected officials and to teachers and others, therapists, to really spread the word about how to tackle this particular subject is and help and building up that network of support being one of the factors that goes into play with successfully dealing with and hopefully overcoming any kind of health issue, especially one as serious as cancer.
Exactly. And you're right. It's all based in this idea of community support and really meeting a community's needs where that community is at. And prevention and health starts in youth. It starts when we're young kids and we need support and healthcare and that community around us throughout our entire lives. So we really do try to leverage that connection to community as well as understand it and strengthen it with the work that we do.
That's such a great initiative, such important work. And we are already at our first commercial break. So listeners, stay tuned, because when we come back, Hunter and I are going to be talking about some of the actual programs and efforts that have been taking place that she and Jillian and the team have created and are continuing to support. So stay tuned. This is Morning Rainmakers, Monday morning, August 11th, here at KVOI The Voice. And we're back on Rainmakers. This is Monday, August 11th, and I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. We're listening to Shining Star. Thanks, Matt, putting some groovy tunes on as we come in on this early Monday morning. A beautiful, clear morning. We might get a little rainstorm later on today or later in the week.
Lydia. We keep working on it.
We keep trying to nourish our Sonoran Desert with that wonderful rain. And on the phone with us this morning, we have Hunter Ackerley. Hunter is the co-founder and COO of wonderful program called CCAP Across the Map, which stands for Cervical Cancer Awareness and Prevention. And the Across the Map part is not only across the Tucson or Pima County or Southern Arizona map, but it really is across the country and across the globe. Hunter, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Yeah, I am happy to get to chat with you.
Wonderful. Well, right before the break, we did a little teaser about talking about you had been informing us about sort of how this started, how you and Jillian really chatted. You've been friends, lifelong friends, school friends, and now professional friends. And in each of your studies at ASU and at the U of A, the two of you continued to be focused on initiatives, on health initiatives, on aspects of research that go into how can one deal with health, not only from the technical science side, but also from the human and community side. And it sounds like you've really centered in on a way, and now for many years, about 4 or 5 years now, you all have been working on this initiative. And what I like when I explore your website, and we'll do a little plug, it's CCAP, so CCAPglobal.org. So much information there about the background of the information that led to this program, but also the different programs and sort of educational initiatives, awareness initiatives that you all have. Tell us a little bit more about what those are in case our listeners are not familiar.
So we have many projects and programs, like you said, that span across the globe. But starting right here at home in Tucson, we have a really important campaign. It's called HPV Ends With Me. And as we were talking about earlier, HPV stands for the human papillomavirus. And that is the leading cause of cervical cancer globally. It is also the most commonly transmitted, sexually transmitted infection in the United States of America. So it's kind of this whole entire wrapped up package of how we can learn about HPV in ways that are digestible and fit within our community and help us to engage in preventative health care so that we are preventing things like cervical cancer and other cancers that come from the human papillomavirus that affect both men and women. And with this campaign, we educate youth all the way up through college age students and teach them about how that they can prevent HPV in their lives.
That's so important. And I think you also bring up an important factor that although we're speaking about women, cervical cancer in women of all ages, HPV is present, as you said, in men as well. Young men would benefit from testing, from screening, and I think that knowledge, especially as you continue to help educate and inform young ladies and their parents and teachers on the spreading of this kind of disease, that it's important that both men and women understand that they are at risk and that there are abilities for them to take shots. The HPV vaccine can really help in preventing this.
Exactly. And screening as well is very important. Getting those regular pap smears and visiting your doctor or however you can really find that support, as we were talking about, like through community healthcare and community mental health, so that we are able to prevent disease before it spreads and becomes life-threatening.
So important. I think on your website, I was noticing you had some nice pictures with some of our elected officials from Arizona, that you were in D.C., I believe, meeting with then Senator Sinema and some other folks on really, I'm going to guess, lobbying for more support, maybe even helping identify some champions in our elected officials and being out on Capitol Hill to help spread the word to get more support? Or was that also, had they supported already and you were just recognizing them?
Yes, we made an amazing connection with people around the United States, cervical cancer survivors, people who are advocates already doing this work. And we had the opportunity a few years ago to go to Capitol Hill, D.C., and talk to our senators and our representatives for the state of Arizona about upholding budgets that really would support preventative health care and support vaccination, both within the United States and globally, as it is such a preventable disease. Truly, cervical cancer is one of the most preventable, but it disproportionately affects people, and people have really high rates of mortality related to cervical cancer, especially in areas where there is limited resources and screening and preventative things like the vaccine aren't as accessible as they really ought to be for people in order to prevent this disease.
So important there. One thing that caught my eye, well, so many things, I'm going to just keep bringing them up and asking you about them. But I saw on your website, and you've mentioned this in the past, some, you know, for all nonprofits, let me back up just a moment there. For all nonprofits, certainly funding is important, but partnerships and having allies in whatever the mission is equally, if not more important, because that's what can lead to furthering your work, furthering your message, amplifying whatever messaging and requests, and of course helping to find other champions that actually might supplement the kind of work that you do. I was noticing an ongoing program on your website called Project Claire, C-L-A-I-R. Is that an ongoing podcast that helps teach Spanish-speaking and Arabic-speaking immigrants and refugees about certain health vocabulary so they can be very, very clear in communicating with specialists and with their healthcare providers?
Yes, that's an initiative that CCAP Across the Map partnered on kind of in the early days of the formation of this organization. And we partnered with another organization, Project Claire, as you described, that did help to kind of increase medical education and language in communities that often were in like refugee communities here in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And so that work has really transformed into us working in other areas where we can increase health literacy. We work in shelters where moms are experiencing homelessness or home insecurity. And so that has really translated as well. Just that kind of core idea of increasing health literacy and understanding the language that is often used in that like medical sense, or those words that maybe mean one thing, but colloquially we don't really have a great understanding of how we might actually communicate that in a way that allows people to access that information. And so we really have kind of taken that idea of translating medical language into something that is understandable and easily accessible to increase health knowledge and our own self-advocacy in the community for our own health.
So very important. I mean, even in our own native languages, English or otherwise, medical jargon can be very confusing, or treatment jargon, you know, those technical terms about procedures, or even understanding and navigating how to pay for treatments like that can be very tough when the words are unfamiliar. So especially if you're going to, we want to always hope that things aren't lost in translation. And I love the fact that that those particular podcasts with Project Claire were not only in the Spanish-speaking opportunities, but Arabic-speaking also. And other current projects that I see are CCAP in Mexico, as well as upcoming CCAP in Ghana, CCAP in Uganda. So you really are traversing the whole globe with the kind of initiatives and expansions there.
Yeah, with our international kind of branch of CCAP across the map, we form partnerships with non-governmental organizations or nonprofits in areas that have reached out to us, kind of based on our social media and our initiatives that we post about to spread the word. And so we form partnerships with those countries, as you mentioned, CCAP in Senegal as well. And we really have multiple branches of our programs that we've talked about going on in these areas with our partners as well. We do those needs assessments with the community and really try to understand their needs and see what programming we have and programming that we can really support in a sustainable way that we can deliver in these areas with and through our community partners. So we have HPV Ends With Me campaigns where we talk about HPV prevention and how to stay safe and healthy in regards to the human papillomavirus. And we also work with community members and community healthcare members such as midwives and train them on how to do accessible screening in more kind of rural areas to screen for breast cancer and screen for cervical cancer and help people kind of get the medical care that they need in more accessible ways.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to our commercial break now. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about fun fundraising. Thanks for being with us on Rainmakers.
Don't forget, you can follow along Facebook or YouTube. Facebook, 1030 The Voice is the channel and is the page. YouTube, 1030 The Voice is the channel. We'll see you there. Lydia, will be right back.
And we're back for our second half hour of the first hour segment on Monday, August 11th, here on Rainmakers, The Morning Voice. And I am your host, Lydia Aranda, with our guest, Hunter Ackerley. Hunter, so great to have you here with us this morning.
It's been really great to get to talk to you on this Monday morning.
We were just listening to I Love Music by the OJs, one of my favorite songs, because I definitely love music, of all kinds of music. And we have a great music spinner behind the glass. Matt Neely makes it happen in all kinds of moods about all kinds of topics. So thank you, Matt, for keeping that vibe going. Hunter, right before the break, we were speaking about many different things. The initiatives focusing on not only the cancer itself and being able to inform folks about HPV and other kinds of situations that lead to cancers, both for men and young women, but then with women in their quest to hopefully prevent cervical cancer and other related cancers, female cancers, you know, breast cancer and the like. So many screenings, so important to get the right kind of information and have the right kind of conversations. And what I mean by that is really informative, paying attention to one's own symptoms and how one feels and being able to communicate that back to your healthcare provider so that they can better assess and be able to hopefully treat situations. And with that comes the opportunity to do podcasts and other kinds of workshops to train for literacy. Love that phrase of healthcare literacy. But also you were speaking about really the engagement of other champions. They might be elected officials or other leaders and influencers across the community, not just here in Tucson or Southern Arizona, but really across the world. So again, congratulations to you and Jillian for that.
Yeah, it's been a really wonderful opportunity to be working on this initiative since about 2017.
Very cool. And the time flies so quickly. And when issues are important and when they are something that you're very dedicated to and enjoy doing, I'm sure the time flies even more quickly. So that puts us at about 8 years of you all doing this, of the work that you've done, the launching little by little, I'm sure expanding the mission and the programming. I wanted to speak a little bit about fundraising, not only how people might be able to donate or participate with in-kind or other kinds of support, but you all have some pretty fun events that you've started that now have become expectations of fun in the community, one of them being bowling. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So for the last 2 years in January, which happens to be Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, so it's timed really well, if you ask me. We have a bowl-a-thon that is put on through our connection to another awesome nonprofit organization, Coaches for Charity, which helps to support important initiatives in the community. And this organization and this partnership has allowed us to have what we call our Strikeout Cervical Cancer Bowl-a-thon. And in that event, we get the opportunity to connect with community members and kind of just spread the word about the work that CCAP Across the Map is doing and will be doing for the upcoming year. And it's a really great fundraising and community connection opportunity for us that we will be having again in this upcoming January in 2026 as well.
Fantastic. Pete, it's not too early for people to sign up and grab their lane or start building their teams toward that. One of the things that I really like, and I've participated in that, it really is a lot of fun, kind of mid-morning on a Saturday where people can come out, and whether you've never bowled before or whether you are an absolute ace at bowling, folks are getting together with teams and just having a good time locally. And also there's some auction items that it seems like a lot of people put some attention into donating raffle items and auction items so that you all can have some added fundraising opportunity besides the tickets themselves or the, you know, people donating to be able to set up their teams. I wonder, and what I like too is it's after all the holidays rush. You know, people have come out of winter holidays. Maybe you're back in the groove of going to school or getting back into their work life. Sometimes people are missing the festivities that have happened in November and December and early January. So it sounds like it also comes at a good time to be able to capture folks.
Exactly. Yes, that's our goal. We really want to just be able to engage the community kind of when people are, you know, coming back from winter vacations or visiting with family and starting off the year. We want to kind of make it a priority and a goal to really kind of focus on preventative healthcare and healthcare literacy at the start of the year every year. And it's a great community event where we can kick that off. And as you said, there's many ways to participate in the bowl-a-thon, bowling, and then the raffle and just silent auction. So it's a really expansive and wonderful community event where we've made some really awesome memories and great connections.
Super. And I love that you said it's a collaboration, that you've teamed up with another local nonprofit that does a lot of great work in support of sports and physical activity by focusing on coaches of many different initiatives. So Coaches for Charity is the name of that. And so they've identified your nonprofit as the January benefactor. Yes? I mean, beneficiary.
Yeah, we've worked with them for the last little bit, and really they've been just a great community support in helping us to engage in an active way with the community to mm-hmm. continue to support our initiative and spread the word.
And if folks were interested, maybe if they're not in the Tucson area, but they're somewhere else in a community and maybe they might want to kind of copy the approach, would you and your team, you and Jillian and the others, be open to possibly doing a different Strikeout Cervical Cancer event in another community?
Absolutely. Part of our kind of just overall goal is really taking the models that we've established in Tucson, established in Southern Arizona, and spreading them throughout just the United States and the globe. We've definitely had some successful fundraisers in other areas of the United States as well, in Louisville, Kentucky, in Chicago, in Georgia. continues to grow, and it spans the entire United States. So it's really awesome to see that happening.
Those are
but
fun.
Yeah, we definitely would be able to.
Wonderful. Those are fun places: Louisville, Kentucky, and Chicago, mm-hmm. and did you say Atlanta, Georgia, also?
Yes.
Wow.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous cities with an awful lot to offer and a lot of great companies and individuals in those cities that can help support. I also note on your website that folks can go on there and learn how to donate to CCAP in Ghana to support health education for midwives. You had brought that up before about really working with the midwives in many different countries. And so that sounds like a really great opportunity. Also donating to PAPS for POC. POC, which stands for People of Color. So it looks like that initiative is to help uninsured or underinsured people be able to afford to get the important screening of a pap smear. And then also donating to CCAP in Mexico to support continued health education for community health workers that are a very prevalent and very well-organized group of specialists that really can touch into deeper into the pockets of community through trust and information to be able to work with folks who may not have as much frequent access to healthcare centers or that because they might be out in the rural areas or just in neighborhoods that are having a hard time getting into clinics. So important on all those aspects. What kind of initiatives happen when you do receive funding for any of those countries? Then does that work where then a grant or some other mechanism is used to be able to get the funding into those countries?
Yeah, so the programs that we have, I'll speak to CCAP in Ghana specifically. Mm-hmm. One of our programs is essentially we do kind of like a week-long educational seminar with the established like health networks in the countries that we work in. So in Ghana, it is a network of midwives who work in their kind of more rural, smaller villages and are able to kind of come together during our week-long seminar. We help them, cover travel expenses and help them to kind of just either increase or learn for the first time about cervical cancer awareness and prevention and accessible screening methods for it that they then become certified in and trained to essentially take back to their own local community and be the person who is doing the screening in that community. And with that initiative, we also supply certain things such as a speculum for performing a visual inspection using acetic acid, which is an in-the-field technique for a preliminary cervical cancer diagnosis. And we partner with nurses and doctors in the region that are already doing this work and allow us to really reach the communities that are most in need. And so any of the donations that we get, whether it's supply donations or monetary donations, go to essentially supporting those initiatives and helping to reach as many midwives and trainees as we can in the region that we can then also support screenings and educational pop-ups for community members as well.
Amazing and so important. And I think it helps people know where their dollars are going to work and that it's while other initiatives, especially in other countries, need cash, it sounds like you've put a lot of thought into how you assign that money, assign that cash to be put into very tangible and measurable aspects by training others, by providing equipment, much needed equipment that might not otherwise be available, and the like, the training of the trainer and informing of those who are going to go influence others. So we are at our next commercial break, believe it or not. So please stick with us for one more break. You're listening to Rainmakers, and we've got Hunter Ackerley with CCAP Across the Map. Stay tuned. And we're back after that last commercial break. We have been speaking this whole hour with Hunter Ackerley, who is co-founder and COO of a wonderful nonprofit organization called CCAP Across the Map, which focuses on cervical cancer awareness and prevention. Hunter, thank you so much for being with us this morning. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you. So much that we've covered, and I wanted to, as we bring you back on, we were speaking in the last segment about funding opportunities, opportunities, how the money gets used in the many different initiatives here locally, but also what happens with some of the global initiatives that happen in Ghana with midwives, for example. I thought I would point folks to your website, where I was looking up to learn a little bit more about the educational materials that you have available. Of course, you've referenced many of those. Many of those are training materials and sort of translated kind of glossaries and those kind of efforts that happen. But I saw that there are multilingual infographics, particularly on HPV vaccines and pap smear tests, that are downloadable on HPV vaccines and pap smear tests. They're available in English, Spanish, Italian, Hindi, and a number of other languages as those come available and change. That's really fantastic. Sounds like you have some really great partners who are helping you with all of those linguistics.
Absolutely. We've had some really great community members and partner organizations that we've worked with over the years to help us continue to grow that database of important health information to make it more accessible for everyone and really kind of just increase our health knowledge as a community on these topics.
Wonderful. And also that there is another website or ongoing website, HPV Vaccine Resources, that is a collaborative kind of initiative, I guess, educational and informative initiative alongside the Arizona chapter of the March for Science Foundation. Is that one of your allies in this quest, and you all share information back and forth, or how does that work?
Yeah, we've had some amazing community partners over the years. One of our first community events was in the Tucson part of the March for Science chapter that really just kind of opened up a lot of communications within the community about important topics related to science and healthcare and overall wellness. And we've expanded those partnerships. We work with the Arizona Partnership for Immunization. We work with the United Nations Shot at Life, and it's just continuing really to grow and expand as we continue to do this important advocacy and education work in the community.
So great. I love that. The United Nations Shot at Life, giving everybody a chance. And that is so important for all of the exciting generations to come.
Great, great discussion here. Hunter, Lydia, maybe let the folks know once again where they can go to learn more or to help out. It's ccapglobal.org, ccapglobal.org.
That's right. And Hunter, if anybody wants to drop an email to you, where would that be? I think it's ccapacrossthemap@gmail.com. Do I have that correct?
That is correct, yes. And you can find us by looking CCAP Across the Map up on any social media platform. We have Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. We're even on TikTok. We do really fun educational videos for community members there. And we also have an educational YouTube platform. So if you're looking to learn more about these initiatives as well as the health information out there that we have worked on, we have some really fun and educational videos kind of for all ages on that platform as well.
Wonderful. Well, you've got it right down to the final note there. Hunter, it's been such a pleasure to have you. Thank you for joining Rainmakers, and I hope you will come back and join us again in the future.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. It's been great to chat.
Fantastic. Well, please, listeners, stay tuned, because in our second hour, we have coming up Venecia Kerr, who is the new CEO and president of United Way of Tucson in Southern Arizona. We're going to take another commercial break here. So stay tuned for more. This is Rainmakers on The Morning Voice, KVOI, The Voice.
Once again, you can follow us on Facebook or YouTube. 1030 The Voice is the page on Facebook. 1030 The Voice is the channel on YouTube. Hit that like button on Facebook. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube. And you can keep in touch with everything we're doing here at 1030 The Voice, including The Morning Voice. We'll be right back after the news.
Good morning. We are back for our second hour this wonderful Monday, August 11th, here on Rainmakers, the Monday segment of Positive Talk Radio show, The Morning Voice. Matt Neely's behind the glass, keeping us going with some tunes and some news. Matt, thanks so much. It's great to see you again on this Monday morning.
Happy Monday. We're here we go again.
We're doing it, and is it technically mid-August already?
It passes for mid-August in my book, yes.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we definitely have the heat, but it sounds like we've still got
so we've only got August, September, and part of October for this unbearable heat. But we'll make it.
We'll make it. That's what we do. You know what? At least we're not shoveling it, as they say. And with that, I'm excited. We had a wonderful first hour with Hunter Ackerley talking about CCAP across the map and a lot of cervical cancer awareness and prevention. And good for her. She and Jillian, as young ladies, really put their studies and their compassion for community together to start that just a handful of years ago in 2021. So they're doing great things. And now I'm excited to transition here in studio. We have a fabulous guest this morning, and many of our listeners may have heard of her, but not yet had the chance to meet her. So I'm excited to be in one of those early lists. Matt, you and I now know the famous Venetia Kerr, who is the new CEO and president of United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona. Venetia, welcome.
Thank you so much, Lydia. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. I know there's so much that has been going on with United Way here in the old Pueblo, as they say, and across Pima County and the other Southern Arizona counties. And you are absolutely a newcomer. I believe you landed here on the ground here in Tucson just in mid-June. So it's just been about 6 or 7 weeks. So I'm so excited that we snagged you so early.
Thank you so much. Yes, I am brand new to Tucson, and I am loving it.
Oh, well, I'm so glad. We have got a lot of great people, a wonderful community. I think you're going to enjoy settling in. And while you may be new to Tucson and Southern Arizona, you are not new to the United Way initiative. Having come straight out of Denver and United Way of the greater Denver community, is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, I was at Mile High United Way in Denver.
High.
Yes, yes, that was I was there for a little over about 5 years.
Well, just enough to be able to make a difference, get some things going, probably wrap some initiatives up, start others, and then come here to Southern Arizona. Well, we are so excited. There is a lot going on with United Ways all over the country. One of my favorite memories of United Way early in my career. In fact, I was still a full-time college student, undergrad student, but I was working for a bank that some people, Matt might remember this name, Maribank, back in the day.
Oh, sure.
It was when some of the savings and loans were transitioning to be banks, and Maribank was here in Arizona, and I was working in their corporate offices while being still a full-time student, as I mentioned, and I got tapped by some of the executives to be one of the co-leads of the United Way program for the bank. And while I knew a lot about United Way, I really felt like I had been a little bit tossed into the deep end, but it was okay. Suddenly I was out doing informational sessions for our employees and participating in, I'll never forget, one of the theme songs that we were using at the time was one of the Michael Jackson songs, Man in the Mirror. And I don't know if that was regional or if it was just our own Phoenix United Way song, but it really had an impact on a lot of our younger employees and our tellers of giving, because they really resonated with that song. So fond memories there.
You know what I'll say is that so many people have a story about United Way throughout their career, or maybe even when they were younger. I am coming across so many people here in the community who have very fond memories of United Way. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, people have been served by United Way, now work at our organization. I've also come across people who have tapped into United Way, either their parents did when they were younger, and they're now like working within our business community. And so I'm finding a lot of people do have like deep connections to United Way in a very positive way.
That's so fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing that. I think you hit on something too, that when people know about United Way, certainly they may have experience of being a giver, a donor of some sort, but also giving of their time and volunteering is so important across the map for all kind of organizations. In fact, when this show started, when Rainmakers started at the early part of 2025, our very first show was all about volunteering and how community organizations can actually actually even share volunteers in meeting their mission. I know that United Way is always looking for more volunteers. I'm going to imagine that might be one of your top points of your mission, being here and settling in.
Well, you know, with United Way, we have, you know, a very strong mission of uniting people, ideas, and resources to create a thriving community. And one of the things that we're really focused on right now is our Days of Caring. That is coming up very soon in October, on October 24th and 25th. We have our Days of Caring, and this is an annual event. And what's exciting about this is over 1,200 people throughout our region are coming together to volunteer during those 2 days. And so we encourage people to sign up for volunteer activities starting on September 8th. So that's coming up very soon.
It sure is. So it sounds like maybe a big prominent link or something like that, some kind of banner will be available maybe on your website too, for
yes,
where people can find out more.
Yes, we want people to go to our website, go to United Way Tucson.org.
Wonderful. And that represents, so Days of Caring, let's talk about that for just a minute. It's a two-day event, October 24th and 25th. When people are volunteering at the Days of Caring event, what are the activities that are going on? I think that's a weekend, am I correct? Saturday?
It's a Friday and Saturday, correct. So on those 2 days, we have over 90 projects usually. Last year, we had 94 projects, and those are happening at different nonprofit organizations throughout the community, as well as sometimes those projects are outdoors. So people can have the opportunity to be indoors or outdoors. You can bring groups of people together and do one project. So if you're an organization out there or a company and you're looking for something to do with your employees, our Days of Caring is a great opportunity to get out in the community and really help. Because there are so many different types of projects. I remember when I was in Denver, we also had Days of Caring, and I would also volunteer as a part of this project. And there were projects going on throughout the city, and the same is true here in Tucson.
Yes.
And so we're really excited about it. We're looking forward to the community coming together and certainly hope that more people will join us this year. Projects are actually being compiled right now. And so by September 8th, we'll be ready to start taking signups for it. So it'll be exciting.
Fantastic. Well, a great way to get people engaged. It's also at the heart of what we call pre-winter months, but you know what our beloved, and I'm using air quotes, anybody can see me, snowbirds, are winter visitors that often spend part of their year here, are usually back by then and settling in and ready to go and ready to do things in our wonderful climate. It still is, I'm going to say this year, it's probably still going to be a little bit warm in October like we've seen in recent years, but it is just a fantastic time, and the evenings are great. And like you said, if people can be indoors or outdoors, I love the idea of this being collaborative work, that Days of Caring really represents how United Way can help lead folks into working with other organizations to serve people and communities in need.
And that's certainly something that we see, throughout our community, is sometimes this is a great way for people to be introduced to nonprofit organizations.
Yes.
Or in some cases, it's a great way for them to learn about what the needs are within our community. I'm still learning a little bit about the weather here, so that's very new to me, 100-plus temperatures.
Yes, sunscreen is very important all the time.
It's the opposite of Denver. Just think Denver and just think the exact opposite, and you'll
and we'll do just fine, yes.
I think so. I was talking to my son yesterday, and he mentioned that it was hailing in Denver yesterday, so definitely very different weather than we have here in Tucson.
It certainly is. And I have to say, I am actually going to be in the greater Denver area the rest of this week. I have a family wedding coming up and a few business appointments and things like that. So I haven't been there in about a year. So it'll be nice to go back. I don't get there quite as often as I used to, but I'll be thinking of you while I'm there.
Well, thank you so much. It is a beautiful
place. And I'll be drinking
place.
Lots of water. Here we drink the water to make sure to stay hydrated because of the heat.
Right.
There we drink the water because of the altitude. So So, you know, whichever way we go, we got to stay balanced there. So I was going to ask one more question about Days of Caring before we go to our first break. And I think you mentioned something I think is very important, that Days of Caring is often a way where folks who may not be as familiar with how they might volunteer can actually look through a lot of selected choices and give it a try. You know, kind of no harm, no foul, give it a shot. It's a Friday or a Saturday, so probably not eating up too much of their time, not too big of a commitment, but they can give a try. I'm going to guess that maybe younger people might have an opportunity here. Or is the volunteering ever open to children, or is it usually 18 and older?
Depends on the project.
Okay, good to know.
What usually happens is that in the information that we share, we usually will provide more details on who may be eligible to participate. Usually there are some projects that are certainly open to people who are younger than 18.
Maybe coming with their parents.
Exactly.
Or if they're kind of a teacher group or something like that.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. So, I mean, those projects are ones that, again, they could be projects where you're outdoors and really helping to clean up a local park.
Sure.
Which, of course, is something that you can have multiple ages participate in that. And
absolutely.
Then in other cases, you know, it could be a project that's indoors where you're helping another nonprofit organization maybe organize a closet, and that may be a little cooler than being outdoors.
And but always a place where kids can learn how to organize, what volunteering means, how to sign up and show up. If you make a commitment, then you keep the commitment. And lots of lessons there for our students, and can't ever start too early.
That is absolutely correct.
Wonderful. Well, we are already going to go on our first commercial break. So please, listeners, stay tuned. This is Rainmakers, and we've got Venecia Care of Tucson, United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona. Stay tuned. And we're back. This is Lydia Aranda, your host for Rainmakers. We are here on Monday, August 11th in our second hour segment, and excitingly having our special guest this morning in studio is Venecia Kerr, the new president and CEO of United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona. Venecia, thank you again for being with us this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
This is so exciting. I know that we were speaking before the break a little bit about some of our collective backgrounds with United Way and what it has meant to us. And the fact that volunteering is a very big, important part of United Way. United Way does a lot, has a lot of staff, but really focuses on how it can engage community, something I've much adored and really respected of the organization all my life. And you have come to, for anyone who didn't catch this in the first part or might not be familiar with your background, you spent many years in Denver with the Mile High United Way, being that CEO. So your experience is something that you bring with you in your expertise. And it seems like you're getting to know Tucson, I'm sure, very rapidly. You've jumped in, you know, right, literally into the fire with our hot temperatures here. But as you've come here to get to know your team and your board and the organizations that are already supporting United Way of Tucson, tell me how that's been about, how you're getting to know community through the eyes of your staff and board.
Yeah, so before I get into that, I just want to clarify one thing. I was actually the chief impact officer at Mile High United
That's
Way.
That's right, the CIO. I think it was just rolling off my tongue that you are a CEO. Yes, the chief impact officer,
that
which is
correct.
Even more strategic.
Oh, yes.
In
yes.
my opinion.
Yes, we did have quite a bit of work that we were doing there at Mile High United Way, but they have a fabulous CEO in Christine Bonero. So I want to make sure that we clarify that. She's a wonderful person and a good friend.
Yes. And she spoke very highly of the bittersweet in any of the interviews or press releases that I saw, of really the friendship, as you just alluded to, of working closely with you in this mission, that really made had a big meaning and left a big impact. But she was wishing you well, and now the two of your colleagues.
That is absolutely correct. And so, you know, when you talk about United Way and coming to the Tucson on community. And of course, highlighting a little bit about my background, one of the things that I do want to share is that I spent over 20 years in the corporate sector before transitioning to the nonprofit sector. And United Way is actually the third nonprofit organization that I've worked with since transitioning to the nonprofit sector. I was very privileged to have that opportunity to work with incredible national nonprofit organizations that are serving our community in very different ways. Mm-hmm. And so the United Way, though, is a very special organization. And I knew that once I joined United Way, the expansive work that they're doing is really, really impactful. And previously, when I was working at other nonprofit organizations, it was really focused on particularly in education. That was the focus of the other two nonprofit organizations that I worked with. What's interesting about United Way is that many people don't always understand the vast amount of work that we're doing.
Oh, I'm sure that's the case. It can be a little bit confusing because there is so much, and I think starts, at least for me, what my understanding most is, it starts with the word united. United meaning coming together, perhaps initiatives coming together. I'm sure initially it was about people coming together to either pool their funding and their other resources to be able to give back. But now even other nonprofits are coming together in this united fashion.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about what you just shared is that it is absolutely spot on. And Mile High United Way was actually the first United Way in the country. United Way was actually started in Denver by Francis Wise Bart Jacobs. Yes.
I didn't realize that. I didn't do my research far enough.
No, that's fine. That's fine. And she is...
How wonderful is that? That's great.
So I actually came from the original United Way to Tucson. Now, of course, you know, that was so many years ago. We're talking about like over 100 years ago.
Yes.
But Frances Wise Bart Jacobs is actually the only woman that is in the stained glass of the Capitol in Denver. So when you walk into the building there, you will see, if you look up Frances Wise Bart Jacobs, because of the impact that she provided in pooling together resources to help support local people in the community. And that same message is what has transcended time.
Mm-hmm.
And now there are United Ways all over the country and even all over the world. And of course, you know, we have an incredible United Way here in Tucson and Southern Arizona that I am thrilled to be a part of. I think the thing that most people don't always realize is that we are more than a funder. Yes, we provide resources to other nonprofit organizations. That is a piece of what we do, but it is not all of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you talk about how we are pooling together resources and we're convening people and we're bringing people together, we're doing that to solve and help address some of the most pressing issues in the community. And when you do that, it requires more than just one organization.
Absolutely.
It requires all of us coming together and working together in order to support the people around us.
Oh, I just so wholeheartedly agree. You are preaching to the choir when you say that. But I think also this will resonate with the community at large here across Pima County and across Southern Arizona. Very community-minded folk, very mindful in their intentional giving or support of local communities, and really understanding that collaboration is key. I want to also put a quick attention before we go to our next break about something that you just said in the history and the leadership there, with being the only woman to be in the stained glass in Denver, in the Capitol. And I am thinking, what a wonderful place to be of very few women that have started, but there are many others who have started these great, not only local, national, but global institutions that are having an impact on community at large. Certainly United Way, as you pointed out, but AARP, you know, started by a woman, Girl Scouts, started by a woman, and these are having ripple effects that are not just about women's issues, but women leading in that way that was strategic, that was intentional, and that was inclusive, and continue to be today. So that's, I think, something that, and I love the slogan from, 20 years ago, I think it started, the Live United, just very simple, Live United. That's how we are going to advance as a community, as a society, is when we live united. So that was one of my most favorite things that you all did. And I still proudly have my white shirt with the black letters, Live United.
Well, you know, you can come and volunteer with us.
Yes, and get a new shirt. I want to earn my new shirts for sure. And you all have a wonderful women's group, yes, also, and I'd love to talk a little bit about that when we get back from our break, because that has resonated well with a lot of leaders here in Tucson, so we can talk a little bit about that and upcoming initiatives. Matt, take us away. I think we're ready for wrapping up this first half hour. You're listening to Rainmakers. And we are back on this last half hour of our Monday show, Rainmakers, for August 11th. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and we have in studio this morning Venetia Kerr, who is the new president and CEO of United Way of Tucson, Southern Arizona. Venetia, again, so glad to have you in studio.
Well, I am really glad to be here. Thank you again for having me.
You bet. And Matt's been keeping us going with wonderful music. And as we went out to our last commercial break, if anyone was listening, we were listening to Happy from Farrell and talking about how joyous, at least for me, that song really gets my foot tapping and my hand snapping, and just puts a smile on my face, which I think when music can do that for us, it's the same way as a good story. When we know that we are working for a good cause, it makes the work easier, makes it go faster, makes it easier to get other people engaged or at least share the vision. And with that, I'm going to ask you, Venetia, in your 6 or 7 weeks that you have been here actually on the ground in your new role, I am sure it feels perhaps like drinking from a fire hose, a lot coming at you. United Way of Southern Arizona is a very big organization and has lots of tentacles. Tell me about how you have processed some of the information and started to maybe just assemble an idea of how you might be focusing on the mission going forward. Learning a few new things, bringing what you had from experiences in corporate and nonprofit life prior to here. How's it all going?
It is a combination of all of the above. And I have heard that terminology about drinking from a fire hose, and it definitely feels that way. I will certainly say that. But the people have been absolutely wonderful. As I've mentioned, I'm thrilled to be here. And the people, both in the community as well as the team at United Way of Tucson in Southern Arizona, has been amazing. And what I mean by that is I have been meeting one-on-one with every staff member within the organization.
Good for you.
And I have just finished meeting with all of them. It has taken the full 7 weeks to do that. But I have had the opportunity to hear from our team directly on some of the things that they think are going really well and some of the areas where we may have opportunities for improvement. And certainly that will help to frame where we're headed in the future. One of the things that we know for sure is that in our community, there is a sense of urgency. And you know, you can think of it as the urgency of the moment. And why do I say that? I say that because people in our community really need nonprofit organizations. They need people who are interested in helping them to move from one stage to the next stage. We also have the public sector that's out there and working through policies to help support people as well. But the nonprofit organizations like United Way are usually right there at the grassroots level helping to support people.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that here in Southern Arizona that more than 150,000 people are living at or below the poverty level.
A lot of people.
That's a lot of people. You're mm-hmm. absolutely correct. So that means that these are people who are struggling to make ends meet. And this is why this work is so important, is because we know what can happen when we work together. We work together to support each other. Then we know that we can lift everyone into a place where they can truly thrive. And so I'm excited about being here in Tucson and having the opportunity to do this work and hearing from the team, but also the community. I'm talking to different people within the community, and we'll really start to ramp up those conversations here over the next couple of weeks, because I'm doing what people have been calling like this listening and learning tour.
Sure. And so important to do, even if you're not new, just touch in with your constituency once in a while.
That's absolutely correct. And what we know is that with United Way, we're a complex organization. As you've mentioned, we're a large organization, but it's through the work that we do and the partnerships that we have that we can all work together, because sometimes it's hard for people to understand, like, well, what does United Way do?
Yeah, what actually do you do? We know you raise money. We know you assign campaigns or people get identified in different organizations, especially in corporations. We see that most prominently, or at least we used to, that there's a team assigned inside the corporation, often through their charitable contributions division, or it might be through an employee resource group or the like. And they get informed on the latest United Way highlights and make sure that they understand the mission and kind of the elevator pitch. And then they hold informative sessions within their own organization and or out in community to inform. And through that, hopefully solicit donations and other resources to come into the group. But also, you mentioned earlier, getting volunteers. So reaching out to those same corporations, companies, small businesses, other nonprofits, or just retirees and community at large, gathering folks' interests and asking them to please sign up and volunteer is a great thing. But you also have specialty approaches that I think help to amplify the not only the need, or excuse me, the understanding of the need, but then amplify the recruiting of people who might be volunteers, or they also might be, you might start a partnership with another organization and go after grants together, or implement projects out into the community. Those seem like a whole lot of mechanisms that allow you to do the work. And I can understand where to the lay people who may not be as familiar with the work, they might go like, I don't understand this complex organization. But you're like, oh yeah, it just works. It runs like clockwork. You know, lots of little gizmos and mechanisms in place.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And one of the things that we like to say, and it kind of really references United Way, is sometimes it is hard to explain, but it's really easy to feel.
When
there and you understand the work that we do and you're among the people at United Way or in the community or volunteering with one of our partners, you can feel the impact. And the great thing about United Way is that we have data to support the work that we're doing. And over the last year, we've served over 250,000 children, families, and older adults.
Such an amazing number. 250,000 folks.
That's absolutely right. And it's through some of the things that you described. Sometimes it's about the direct service.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it is about funding other organizations. But when we think about the direct service, people don't always think about United Way as being a direct service provider. But one of our programs is a really good example of that, which is what we call our VITA program,
okay,
which is a volunteer income tax assistance program, where during the tax season, we are providing free tax preparation services to people who are making less than $70,000 a year. And those free tax preparation services allows them to save money on tax preparation by working with someone who's a trained and an experienced expert in tax preparation.
Mm-hmm.
We have volunteers that can also help with that because we can train them on how to do that. And then this year, what we have noticed is that over 10,000 people have been served through that program. And what's also important is that it brings back money into the community and into their pockets because of the refunds that are available when you file your taxes. And so millions of dollars are being returned to the community, and that's one of the direct service programs we offer.
That is so important, and I'm going to point out a couple things that you mentioned that I think are also really informative of the kind of work that United Way does. So first of all, a direct service, not only the collaborative service or the bringing together other organizations and helping make that helping make that function. But the direct services, tax assistance and tax preparation can be daunting, even for those who are familiar with it, who have done their own taxes for years and all this, because there is so much that is changing all the time, or people's situations in their earnings or their life situation may have changed, and then they fall into different categories on how to prepare their taxes. So number one, there's just a lot to know. So anytime another expert can help, that's great. You pointed out that this is a service available for people who are earning under $70,000. What that says is we're not just talking about low income. We're talking about an area that really is fairly broad ranging for a lot of people, younger, maybe starting off in their career or further along in their career, but they just aren't making the millions, you know, and so they may want help. Maybe they've gone through a life-changing situation where they've gotten married or they've separated or divorced or through death have lost a partner. So there's all these other tax impacting implications that need to be dealt with. So that's fantastic, and it does contribute to the economy. You also talked about the 150,000 folks just in the area that are living under the poverty line. That does not necessarily mean they aren't working. In fact, a lot of those folks are working multiple jobs. So there's a lot of information that goes on there. I know we're getting ready to go to a break. And so I see Matt waving at me behind the glass. So we're going to go to break, but hold that thought because we're going to let you know how to get involved right after the break. And we're back this morning, Rainmakers on Monday, August 11th. And we are wrapping up a wonderful 2 hours. And this hour, we have had Venetia Kerr in our studio live so that the listeners can get to know you, Venetia. You are the new president and CEO of United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona. Again, thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
This has been a wonderfully informative exchange where we are talking a little bit more about United Way, reminding people of the great mission that's been going on for so many years, the fact that you serve 250,000 folks, families, individuals, adults, early childhood, all the way up into retirement and everywhere in between. People are either touched by or can get involved in United Way. Volunteers are a big part. As of course, donors, funding, and other kind of in-kind resources are super important, but the volunteers that help make the mission go are also important. And there are many things coming up, including we talked a lot about women leadership and women as leaders of organizations and initiatives. We talked about United Way, AARP, Girl Scouts having these wonderful reputations of who founded them and how they keep growing. But also Women United is a big part of the United Way here in Tucson. And people can find out more about how to get involved as a leader or volunteer on your website, which is UnitedWayTucson.org, correct?
Correct. It's UnitedWayTucson.org.
Fantastic. Well, tell us more about how people can get involved, where they can donate, and a few other things that they might need to know to keep going, and also how they might meet you.
Absolutely. So Women United is something that you just mentioned, mm-hmm. and it's one of the ways that people can get involved with our organization. There are a number of different opportunities, as you mentioned, like volunteering is a really key aspect of what we do. And Women United is another way for women to come together and to serve the community. And so more information is available out on our website, UnitedWayTucson.org. In addition to that, we also have a Young Leaders United.
Oh, fantastic.
Which may not be something that you're familiar with, but it is something that we also have as ways for young leaders to come together and support United Way, but also more importantly, supporting the community at large. And so our Young Leaders United, they're actually having an event that's coming up very soon on September the 19th.
Oh, wonderful.
They're doing a toast to Tucson. And so we certainly invite people to learn more about the work that Young Leaders United is doing, as well as what Women United, what they are doing. Both of these groups are great ways for people to become more engaged with the organization while also becoming more engaged with the community. They volunteer together. They also give of their resources. In some cases, it is in kind, and in other cases, it's giving financially.
Nice.
So there's lots of different ways to support United Way and the community overall. One of the other things that I want to quickly mention is when we talk about United Way, we do serve people from early childhood all the way to adulthood. And there's another program that we have called Cradle to Career, which really encompasses that whole idea of being able to connect with people and meet the needs of people from the time that they are infants to adulthood. And all of the work that's necessary in between those stages to ensure that people can thrive. So I wanted to mention that because sometimes people don't understand, again, like we go back to that full breadth of what we do.
Yes.
It truly is a multi-generational approach. It's partnerships, it's convening, it's collaboration, it's direct service. It's a lot.
It's a lot. And that's why it takes a leader who can really think in those vast manners, but also be able to do deep dives into the different buckets, into the different pillars, and be able to bridge that whole vision out there. Venezia, it sounds like you have really jumped into it full throttle here, getting involved in the community. But I love the fact that you took the first 6 weeks. You didn't wait for a few months. You started with focusing on your people. I bet your team is feeling very appreciated at this moment and lucky to have you as the new leader.
Thank you so much. I am, as I said, I just keep using the word thrilled because I am so excited about what's ahead for United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona. I'm getting a lot of great information from talking to people within our community and also our staff. And so I'm thrilled to be here. Yes.
Wonderful. Well, we've been thrilled to have you here on Rainmakers. I know that we are wrapping up this show for Monday, August 11th. But Venezia, I hope you will come back and see us again.
I absolutely will be back again. I look forward to coming back and having additional conversations with you. If I may just one more time say, we encourage people to support us, invest in United Way and in our community. Go to UnitedWayTucson.org.
Thank you so much. Matt, you have a great day. Wishing everybody a wonderful Monday.